Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you. I am Apostle Christopher McQueen.
I'm Prophetess McQueen.
Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries. And this is the Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. We're so happy that you would join us today. We know that God has a word for you. And we're looking forward to getting into this, this word today. Before we go forward, let's just look here and do our announcements. And do our prayer, and then we're going to move right into this word. Prophetess?
Amen. God bless you, everyone. In the announcements, just to let you know, every Tuesday at 7 a.m. and every Saturday at 10:30 a.m., join us right here at www.ctkr.org for Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast with none other than Apostle McQueen. You could also hear me on Thursday nights at 7 p.m. for Prophetic Atmosphere. That's Kingdom Lifestyles every Tuesday at 7 and every Saturday at 10:30 a.m. and Prophetic Atmosphere at 7 p.m. every Thursday. And you can hear us at www.ctkr.org. People of God, that is our website. We implore you, go to our website, get to learn more about Christ the King Redemptive Ministries. Get to learn more about myself and Apostle McQueen. Also, the ministries that God has graced us with to cover that are located overseas. We have schools and orphanages. Amen. We have teachers, pastors. We have many sons and daughters that God has given us. We give honor and glory to Him for that. Amen. And He's also given us ministries right over here in the United States to cover, and we thank God for that as He continues to give us the wisdom and the grace to lead His people. Amen. Also want to let you know, Christ the King Redemptive Ministries and Women of Prophetic Destiny has a Facebook page. Go to our web pages. Amen. Check us out. Like us on our Facebook page. Leave your prayer requests, your praise reports as well. Let us know what God is doing in and saying, amen, in your life. For any of you, amen, who would like myself or Apostle McQueen to come and minister at your program or at your church, as you go to our website, check out our media page as well as our contact page, and there you can leave your name, your number, amen, and an email, and someone will contact you within 12 to 24 hours. If you want to check out our preaching ministries, go to our media page, amen, where you can hear the dynamic, powerful message of Apostle McQueen called What Is in a Little Spit. Oh, yes, you should have been there. The power of God worked mightily on behalf of the man of God. Or you can hear me, Prophetess McQueen, preach a message that God gave me for called Has Success Caused You to Forget God? Listen, the people of God, the power of God showed up. Amen. We gave all glory and honor to Him. Amen. Listen, those are the announcements for this week. Oh, don't want to forget the most important announcement. It's big. Amen. It's going to be powerful. It's going to be mighty. Women of Prophetic Destiny is hosting a conference, my conference I hold every year on October 18th and 19th, 2013, known as, being held, excuse me, in the beautiful city of Cocoa, Florida. This year's theme, amen, for Women of Prophetic Destiny is don't forget your assignment. Amen? Don't forget your assignment. It's going to be a powerful word. We have men and women coming from all around. They're going to be preaching and teaching the word of God. We have powerful praise and worship. You want to be there. If you find yourself, amen, in the state of Florida, you want to make your way to 213 Stone Street, Greater St. Paul Baptist Church, 213 Stone Street in the beautiful city of Cocoa, Florida. That's October 18th and 19th. More information is going to come. Definitely please keep your itinerary open. I want to see you there. Amen. And I want to see you be blessed of the Lord and receive, amen, a right now word from God. Amen. Those are the announcements, people of God. Let us now go into prayer. Let's look to the Lord so we can hear the man of God come forth with a mighty message. Father, in the blessed name of Jesus, Lord, we magnify, we glorify you. Father, as we come this day, we lift up our hands and we bow our heads in our spirits. Merciful God, we just give your name honor and praise and glory. Lord, as we come and submit ourselves at your feet, submit ourselves to your will and your way in the name of Jesus, we ask right now for forgiveness, God, of all sin. We ask that you would wash us in your blood. Wash our minds in the blood of Jesus. Wash our attitudes in the blood of Jesus. Wash our eyes in the blood of Jesus. Our ears, our hands. Wash our spirit and our soul. Wash our subconsciousness, God, in the name of Jesus. Wash our wills that they will line up with your will in the name of Jesus. Father, even now, as the man of God comes to minister this powerful word, we ask that he would decrease and you would increase in him. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would show up right now in this place. We ask that as the word goes forth, that you would just breathe up on a fresh word, fresh life, fresh wind, fresh anointing in this place in the name of Jesus. Father, whoever you have assigned to hear this word on tonight, Father, we command that their spiritual inner ear would be open and attuned to your voice this evening in the name of Jesus. God, we ask that you would remove the scales off of our eyes. Hallelujah, that we may see in the spirit. God, I'm asking right now that the spirit of revelation and wisdom will begin to operate amongst your people in the name of Jesus. Father, I'm asking now that you will begin to show yourself strong on the behalf of your people. You said those that will believe in you shall do great exploits, God. Father, we ask and praise you and we glorify you. We thank you. We magnify. We lift your name up for you are holy. There is no God like you. Who is greater than our God? We worship you and we adore you and we magnify you. Father, in Jesus' name now, those that are listening, those that you're going to call from the archives, those that are assigned to this ministry, God, as they begin to listen to this word, bring clarity, bring deliverance, bring healing, bring signs, wonders, and deliverance, God. Bring an understanding, bring a new revelation. Set hearts ablaze and on fire. God, stir up their minds, stir up their hearts, stir up their spirits, God, that they will continue to push forward and complete the assignment that you have called them to do in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, right now, blow on the gifts, God, those gifts that have been laying dormant on the inside of your people. Blow on them a fresh wind, a fresh anointing, God. Let them move forth and rise up out of the ashes, out of obscurity, with all power, with all anointing, God, in the name of Jesus. God, I'm asking now that you would begin to bring holiness, holiness, righteousness, and sanctification back to your people, back to the church, in the name of Jesus. Let your people begin to see, Father, that there is no other gospel, but the only true way is you. We thank you, we praise you, we glorify you, we worship you in everything that we do. We magnify and honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for the awesome prayer. I know I feel the power of God. Amen. We're excited, as I said, about this woman of prophetic destiny. And as we go forward, I know that God has a word for us. Amen. And this is the time for us just to get in and really begin to study what God is saying and what he's showing us as his people. Once you know, the enemy has tried his best to shut down, shut up, shut out. But every time that he pushes back, it's like a rubber ball. You ever notice how that ball hits the ground, and after it hits the ground, it bounces back up. But the harder that you throw it at the ground, the higher it goes. God wants you to know today that your put down is really your come up. Amen. And it prepares you for higher heights. Amen. You can go in and begin to look at what God is doing and what he's saying. You can see how he has already positioned you for the greater. Amen. And that is the most important thing, is that you're not left to your own devices, but God has a plan for your life. Amen. Today we want to pick up and continue on where we were in Ephesians. And I want you to know, God is he's speaking some words to us. And if we have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church, we're going to get some real revelation out of all of this. What happens is the enemy tries to come in and confuse us. And he also tries to come in and discourage us. But God has a place for us. There's what he set up and what he's already done for us. Amen. And understanding that means that instead of us being intimidated by the assignment, we embrace the assignment, go forward knowing that all things work together for the good of them who love the Lord, to the called according to his purpose. Notice all those things in there that I said have to deal with not you, but him. He called. It's according to his will, according to his purpose. Amen. And as we reach forward to obtain those things, then he gives us a grace to maintain those things. Amen. So as we've been reading here in Ephesians, amen, 1 and starting at the third verse, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with his spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. As we begin to look at that, we begin to see that there are some things that God has done for us according to his plan and his purpose. Now, let me just say this here, because I want you to get an understanding of what is happening here in Ephesians. Paul is making a case and laying it out to the saints at Ephesus. The grace of God, the richness of his grace, amen? And I think too often, as I said before, we have men with cunning craftiness and deceitful plotting who use the word riches every place that they see it. They make it a carnal application. But the riches that he's speaking of have nothing to do with your bank account, what's parked in your driveway, or what house your driveway is in front of. It has everything to do with what God has designed and planned for us. Amen. So as we begin to look down through this, then we begin to see that is according to in the fifth verse, we see having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself. Listen to this, according to the good pleasure of his will. You see that? But just before that, what is all of this good pleasure? What does all this have to do? How has he predestined me that? Well, he chose us in him before the foundations of the world. Chose me to do what? To be holy, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Amen. We're supposed to be demonstrating the love of Christ. Amen. And the love of God. Amen. By living a holy life. Amen. And if we're living a holy life, amen, then we can have exactly what he already planned for us. Amen. Amen. So as we begin to look at this, then then we begin to see that all of this is so that we can be to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Now, beloved, you know, what are you saying? Well, the same thing that happened in Matthew, the third chapter, Jesus is being baptized, and as he's going down in the water and he comes up, we see that the Spirit, Holy Spirit, descended upon him as a dove, and we see that. But we also see a manifestation of the Father. The Father speaks and makes sure that we know exactly what's going on. Matthew 3:17 says, "And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I will please.'" So now, if we are to be the children of God, his beloved, amen, children, then he has to be pleased with us, amen. And he can't be pleased with us unless we are operating as sons and daughters, you know, according to the good pleasure of his will. So what are we supposed to do? To the praise of the glory of his grace. Now, grace is the merited favor of God, amen. So that means that God has placed grace upon us to accomplish what we need to accomplish in order to go forward and do what needs to be done. Amen. So, as I said, Paul sets this out and he begins to talk about this. He begins to deal with this. So, as not to mistake what's being said here, we go on to the seventh verse and he clarifies how all this adoption and everything through Jesus Christ comes. Amen. It says, "In him we have redemption through his blood." I had someone who told me that they know the word of God is the sword. They know the Holy Spirit is the power source, the dunamis. But I don't see any place where the blood is actually a weapon against the enemy. And I said that's because you're not looking far enough. If you're not looking to see that this is exactly what it is, a weapon, then you won't use it properly. Amen? And if you're not using it properly, then that means that there's some other problems going on. What happens when you don't apply the blood where it should be applied? You don't have authority where you should have authority. That's what happens. Amen? Because when the enemy comes, he needs to see that you have authority over him. Not your flesh is ruling over you. Amen? And when he sees your flesh in charge instead of the blood covering your flesh, then he knows that he has an end, he has a doorway, and he doesn't have to cease or desist. The Bible says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. How can you submit without accepting the way that he provided for us? Jesus Christ is the propitiation or the payment in full for our sins. He is the payment, amen, and it's his blood that does that. So here we see that in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, listen to this, according to the riches of his grace, amen. And according to the riches of his grace simply says, which have that the riches is not your material riches, amen, huh? So when we have people telling us, according to the riches of his grace, the Lord, the desire was for us to be rich, and he has given us the grace to be rich. No, it's not the grace to be rich, it's the richness of his grace. Amen? Which he made us abound towards all. You see that? In all wisdom and prudence. Amen? It seems that word prudence has been lost to some. But let me deal with this riches of his grace. Romans 3:24-25. It simply says this, and I think I just went over this dealing with the redemption. But let's see what this richness of his grace really is. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is Jesus Christ, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood. Amen. Huh? Through faith to demonstrate his righteousness because in his forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. So God didn't give you a grace to be monetarily rich. God gave you the richness of his grace, which means that although we have sinned greatly, his blood was enough to still cover that. And guess what? If you sin from this day forth, there's still enough efficacious properties in the blood to cleanse and cover that too. The blood still works. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood. Amen. So having made us, back in Ephesians, which have made us to abound towards in wisdom and prudence, 9th verse, having made known to us the mystery of his will. Again, we're back to his will. According to his good pleasure, we're back to his good pleasure, which he purposed, and that word right there, amen, is so important because when we look at the purpose of God, notice all of this talks about his will, his purpose, his wisdom, his good pleasure. Amen. It is our joy to serve him. Amen. And as we do so, then God treats us not as servants, but as sons. You see that? And I'm so grateful that God treats his children properly. Amen. So when we see this, having made known to us in the 9th verse, the mystery of his will, you see that? According to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, which means that he didn't look at you and see your likes, dislikes, and your wants and your desires, and then say, you know what, I'm going to purpose my will after you because I want you to be happy. He said, no, I'm your father, and I can see down the road where you can't see. I can see around the corner where you're about to go, and the weight that you're trying to put on because you think would be good for you, I know will be an obstacle to you later. So why don't I wait until you get around the corner and show you how to carry properly that weight so when it gets upon you, when you take it upon yourself, it's not a burden. You see that? See, some things that we try to get now, we try to get it because we feel we want to have it, and it's our time, it's our season, this is my right, this is my duty. But God is saying, listen, this isn't about you, this is about me. And in my plan, I have already determined the best for you. We like to read the Bible and see where he makes excuses and for us so that we can have what we want. Amen. But you need to really read this word and see that it says his will, his good pleasure. So if you're looking at that, then you'll see exactly what's going on. Amen. Look at this. 9th verse, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, when do I get it? In the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together all in one, all things in Christ. So now let's go back up, because when we begin to look at this, 3rd verse, Ephesians 1:3, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Our seek to your wealth of grace, wealth of wisdom, wealth of and satisfaction is being found in Christ. So as we look at this, we see that as we are dealing with Christ, seeking after Christ, seeking after the kingdom of God, then God gives us everything that we need. We already have it. You see that has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. When did we get it? Upon our conversion. When was your conversion? Lord, forgive me of my sins. You see that? At that point, then you were given or gifted, or should I say the word, graced with every spiritual blessing. So while you're running after trying to find a blessing that you think you didn't get, the Bible right here testifies that he's already blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Where do you find out, or where is it revealed to you, the scope of your blessing? Is when you discover your relationship and the strength of your relationship in Christ. You see that? So Prophetess and I have been married, October will be 20 years. So in 20 years, there are some things that we have learned about each other. Amen. And I will quickly tell you, we have not learned everything about each other. Amen. And I don't say that in a negative connotation at all. I'm saying that because as long as you are willing to focus on your relationship, you're discovering new things all the time. Amen. And when you discover new things, then you're able to see what you need to see in order to keep going forward. But if you go into that relationship figuring that it needs to be one way, then one of you are going to be unhappy. No, I'll take that back. Two of you are going to be unhappy. You're going to be unhappy because the one who thought it should be like that will be dissatisfied that it's not like that. And the other person that they thought should make it like that is going to be dissatisfied that they're trying to be made to make it like that. So that way, no one wins. You see that? But if you go into it looking at it as we come together as one, so that we can learn and live and move forward, then you find out that there's things that you discover in each other that keeps it so happy as you go forward. Amen. I'm glad that I don't know everything about Prophetess. Amen, Crystal, because if I did, then I would get bored. Amen. And then that's when I have to go try to find a way to spice my marriage up because I don't let it get dry. And, you know, I know that she need to be over here doing this, that, and other. We need to stop. You need to be over here doing this, that, and other. And just allow, you know, the growth to happen. The same thing with our spiritual relationship with God. The two people who come to him with what they feel he should be doing and how he should be doing. Never pick up the Bible to learn. Don't go to Sunday school. Don't go to Bible study. You won't take time to learn the word to see what he's already set before you, set in place for you. Amen. So you have an opinion of what God should be doing without knowing what he's already done. Amen. Huh? And if you don't know what he's already done, then you'll be complaining about something that's already been provided for you. Amen. Here, let me go back here to this. I want you to see this, and we ran into this before. Let's look at Matthew, the sixth chapter, and I do believe it's about the 19th verse. Amen. And it says, do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where the moth and the rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy. And where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So the reason why we focus on Christ is because we have found a treasure in Christ. Lord Jesus. There are people who have not found there to be a treasure in him. If you don't find a treasure in Christ, then that means that when it comes time for you to go through some things, you can't go through it because you don't see a reason to go through it. There's no, there's nothing that's promoting you or propelling you or helping you to see a need for it. I'm very leery for of people who come around me and their only interest in me as a friend is what I can do for them. And not what relationship we can build together. You understand? And I know some of you, if you find out somebody's trying to use you, will walk away real quick. Why'd you walk away? They're trying to use me. Well, listen, how many of you have really gotten into Christianity because you wanted your soul saved, but somebody told you about the riches of his grace, and they misinterpreted the riches part of it, to tell you that if you get with him, he going to give you money. Well, listen, when you get into this, this is a sowing and reaping, amen? And I'm not talking about sowing and reaping as it relates to prosperity theology. I'm talking about sowing into the word of God and letting it reap out revelation to you, amen? So when the word comes, it gives you wisdom to show you how to walk, amen, this fall. It shows you how to deal with your everyday situations. I remember hearing when I was younger that once you get saved, everything was going to be all right. And when I got saved, everything hit the fan, amen. And I said, well, what happens to everything's going to be all right? That, it is at that point that the Holy Spirit begins to show me that everything being all right is that although the problem is the same, my approach to the same problem has changed. Now the outcome can be different than it always was when I approached it the other way. Amen? So amen. I found that God has given me wisdom. There are times when I didn't know how to talk to people, but the Holy Spirit gave me the words to say. And when I spoke to him, he said, don't go in there yelling and kicking up saying, go in there humbly and just ask them. And I'm going there humbly and ask them, and they say, well, Mr. McQueen, we're going to go ahead and give you an extension this time. And when can you? And I said, wait a minute, before I came up in here screaming and hollering because y'all ain't going to do this to me. And they turned my stuff off while I was standing there. When I went up in there and I asked humbly, I found out that they extended grace to me. I'm trying to help somebody out right now. Because you've been trying to get stuff, huh? Things taken care of, going at it the way that you always have. But if you have come into Christ, allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you, allow him to speak through you, you'll see a difference in your response, and you'll see a difference in their response. Amen? The other thing is we found that as we waited upon the Lord would give us what to do. We found out that he always blesses us with what we need at the time we need it. Amen? So I'm not walking around with $1 million in my pocket, but I tell you this, I have faith to believe that if right now I needed $1 million, that God would make a way for it to materialize. The resource would be there at the point of the need. Amen? I've seen him do it on too many other occasions. Amen? He has met the need. Huh? If I got $5 and I need 10, it might as well have been $1 million. But when God turns around and makes sure I got the 10, then I know that I have everything that I need. He met the need at the point of my need. Amen? Amen. So here in Matthew, the 6th chapter, he says, do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moths and rust destroy or where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And then it goes on as we drop down, reading down here. It says, therefore, do not worry, 31st verse, what saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For all after all these things the Gentiles seek, they seek treasure. They seek to be comfortable, to have all of those things. Amen. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. He knows you need those things. Amen. Amen. Huh? He says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, when we see these words, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, we have to put it into perspective. Amen? It says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. That means the king's domain. That means that that is the place where he has dominion. We can't say that Jesus Christ is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and then deny him access to certain places and certain things in our life. It doesn't work that way. Does not work that way, amen. According to the word of God, and according to this right here, you can't do that. If it's the kingdom of God, then we have to deal with the king's domain. Who's the king? God. It's where he has dominion. Amen. That will be over the lives of his children and his subjects. Amen. It's where we allow him to rule. You see that? Not only is it where we allow him to rule, you have to understand that everything belongs to him. And if we have it, there's delegated authority that allows you access and control over it. Amen. Because he is sovereign in himself. The earth is the Lord, and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein. Amen. So when we see this right here, there is nothing that God is short on. There's no deficiency in his resource or his ability. What we have is we have the inability to focus on God and his design plan for our lives. So we think that we need to find a way to do it, and we run out. And as we run out and begin to do it, then we get in his way. So now the Father can't do it because we're in the way. Isn't that terrible? That the thing you're trying to get him to do, he's trying to do, but you step in the way and he's not able to do it. Not because he has no ability, but because he's not trying to run you over to do it. You see that? Huh? So when you seek after the kingdom of God, then you're seeking after everything that he's already set up in place. I wish somebody would just say with me, Lord, help me to seek you. Help me seek your kingdom. And as we're dealing with kingdom, we have to understand kingdom is not what you put together and put his name on it. It's what he has already designed prior to you coming that will continue on its development even after you have gone. You have an opportunity here. Amen. To come into agreement with his will for your life. And as you come into agreement, then you'll see the benefits of obedience. You see that? Amen. But seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Amen? So as we see that, then we begin to see that God has some things for us, but he wants us to seek him first. Why? Because we're to be to the praise of his glory, to the glory of his grace. Amen? To the praise of the glory of his grace, amen. By which he made us accepted in the blood. Ephesians 1 and 6. Amen. Now, let's go back to Ephesians, the first chapter. Yes. Start at the 10th verse. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth. In him, that is Christ. Amen. In him we also have obtained an inheritance. Now, look at this. This word inheritance is something that we can understand as a legal term. And when there is benefactor who has set aside certain things for the beneficiary, they have to fulfill certain requirements, both sides, before there can be a releasing of the benefits. Amen? Mm-hmm. Now, let me show you how this works. The benefactor goes out and takes care of putting things away and putting them aside, set them aside, so that in the fullness of time, he can or she can bequeath to the benefactor some gift, if you will. You see that? So in order for them to do their part, they have, first of all, have something of value set aside, not just for themselves, but for the benefactor who will receive the benefit, okay? And it cannot be empowered for release until the benefactor, passes. You see that? So when they pass, then the benefactor can receive the benefit. Amen. Mm-hmm. You see that? So now here's what happens here. When we use the word in him, we have obtained an inheritance. We have to understand that the legal term here is showing us that God has already set something aside for us. He's already set something of value, great value, aside for those who will be the benefactors. So God, the benefactor, set this aside for the beneficiary. Amen. Who will receive the benefit. Mm-hmm. I do believe I hope I said that right. Amen. So he set this aside. How did he set this aside? Well, when did he set it aside? Well, let's read it. In him we have also obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. God himself set some things aside that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. You see that right there? The Father did something, the Son did his part, and the Holy Spirit, will do his part. We'll get into that as we go into the 13th verse. But we see already that Christ has given, has died, has done what he needed to do. The Father then has set aside all these things in the plan that he had, that he empowered through Christ, the blood of Christ, the propitiation of his blood, the payment of our sin that brings us into righteousness before God and makes us qualify and brings us into adoption into the family of God. You see that? Which he purposed in himself, according to the dispensation of the fullness of times. Let's read it all the way down. That he might gather together in one all things in Christ. Amen. Both which are heaven and which are on earth. That's why he said all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. He's saying that in this time, at this moment right here, I have overcome the requirements of the will and the testament. Now I can enforce it for your benefit. You see that? So you can now receive the benefits of the testament. You see that? Both in heaven and on earth in him. Whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound. Whatsoever you loose on earth will be loose. You know, so as we begin to deal with these keys and these things, now you see how this is important. He gave them the key before they got to the house.
Yeah.
You see that? So now that they have the ability, now they start binding and loosing things. Amen. And because the testament has been empowered, they have the benefit of using those keys now. You see that? In Christ, in my name. You see that? In him, we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined to the predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. So now when we begin to look at what God wants from us, we have to seek the counsel of his will. Amen. Romans. Amen. This is where we get into Romans, the 8th chapter. Amen. Let's try that. There we go. Romans, the 8th chapter. That's where we get into this right here. The 18th verse, 19th verse, 20th verse. Amen. 26. There we go. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according, listen to this, to the will of God. So now, if you're going to get what God has for you, you're going to get it because it is according to his will. This is in variance to those who preach. If you desire it, then you need to pray. Put it up on your mirror. Look for it. Keep going after it. You shall obtain it. Listen, astral projection and visualization and all the rest of that is something that is not Christian, amen, but brought into Christianity. You know, when you talk about the desires of your heart, it is already understood and known that God has already taken what you need and what your desires will be into account when he set the plan up for your life. Remember, we're predestined before the foundation of the world for these things. Amen. And as you look at predestination deals with those who are chosen and not just called. Because there are those who are called who refuse to call, to answer the call. So you don't get the benefits of being chosen. And if you don't have the benefits of being chosen, then you don't get the reward for the obedience, amen, of answering the call. There are so many things that qualify in here. How do I lead a good life? I need to pray and ask God for his will. I need to ask him what he wants from me. I need to ask him to help me so I can go forward. Now, I've been praying and asking God and asking the Holy Spirit for this, that, and the other, and people at work, and they're getting on my nerves and everything else, and I just want to loose my money. Give me my stuff. Okay, listen, stop praying that prayer. Amen. That's a faulty prayer. Amen. That prayer that you pray there is not one that empowers the will of God to be fulfilled in your life. It takes into account your desires and your comfort zone and what you want, but it doesn't take into account that all things work together for the good of them who love the Lord. Amen. So when we begin to look at all things work together for the good, that's the good, that's the bad, that's the ugly, that's the it's comfortable, that's the uncomfortable part. Okay. So when God begins to put you through the process to make sure that you mirror the image of his son, amen, 29th verse, where it says, whom he foreknew, these he all predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. You see that? That he might have been among many brothers. That means that he did not save you so you could look like you, a better version of you. He saved you so you could not look like you, but look like Jesus. You see that? So while you're trying to pray and get God to give you certain things, God said, I've already given you every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. But you got to work on your life so that you will mirror and be conformed to the image of Christ. Mm-hmm. And as you are conformed to the image of Christ, then you have the right and the ability to obtain and manifest every spiritual blessing that was given to you in the heavenly places in Christ because you are properly seated with him. Well, how come he just won't give me my stuff and let me mature up to it? Yeah. Well, that's because if he gave you your reward while you were still going through your process, you would stop going through your process because you got your reward. Amen? So what God does is he blesses you with a little bit, and blesses you with a little bit more, and then he blesses you with a little bit more. And what he's doing is he's provoking you into greater blessings. Amen. So when you look back over your life, you'll see where he brought you from. Even though you're not where you want to be, you'll see that you're a long ways from where you started from. Amen. And all along that way, you'll see that you went from test and trial to glory. Test and trial to glory. Amen. And if you stop focusing on the test and trial, you'll see that you're going from glory to glory to glory. You see that? So here's the problem. Here's the problem, James 4 and 1. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Where do they not come from your desires? You see this? For pleasure, that war in your members. How can I be conformed to the image of Christ when I'm trying to get God to give me the desires of my heart? You see this? See, we've been sold a bill of goods that can't stand up to scriptural scrutiny. Amen. As we begin to look at it, God said, listen, I got your blessing, but I need you to be conformed to the image of my son. Amen. I don't need you looking like yourself, because I'm not blessing mess. Amen. And the Bible lets us know that the flesh is nothing but a mess before God. Your righteousness even is as filthy rags before him. You see that? That is the word. Amen. So while we're trying to get God to look at us and accept us, oh, he just accepts me. He said, listen, I accepted you in, but now it's time to go through the process. Amen. It's time for you to change. It's time for you to be conformed, amen, to the image of my son. The Bible tells us something here, and we need to take it to heart, amen. The Bible says something that is very simple in Romans, the 12th chapter. It says, I beseech you, brother, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice. You see that? A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world. Well, I believe if Jay-Z and all them can drive big cars and live in big houses and everything else, what did they do to get that? How? What did they sell of themselves? What did they give up of themselves to get that? Who is using them? Let me hit you like this. What anointing is on their life? See, that's a question right there. We just want to think that, you know, only saved people are anointed. No, my brother and sister, if God can anoint us, if there's anointing from the Holy Spirit upon us, then there is a counter to that. Mm-hmm. We have authority over unclean spirits to cast them out. You see that? Huh? But don't you think that those unclean spirits have authority? Why are we putting on the whole armor of God if there's no threat to the kingdom? Why are we told to fight the good fight if there is no fight?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
See, we've been walking around trying to, I'm saved and God has given me everything and I've got it all. Now I need to he just needs to release my car, my house, my money. Give me my stuff. Okay, you yelling my stuff and he said, do my will and you'll have stuff. You see this? Seek first my kingdom and my righteousness. And I'll add all that stuff to you. See, back to James 4:1. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? Second verse, you lust and do not have. You murder and covet. That means you scheme and try to kill other people's opportunities and chances so that you can get it. Amen. Huh? And cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. So then we begin to take that and say, ooh, I remember the scripture say, ask and you shall receive. So we start to ask, but we ask the wrong things. You see that? We're not asking the will of God. That's why I said stop praying that prayer. You're not asking his will. You're asking your will. Look what it says here. Third verse, it says, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasure. See, when you are so focused on what you want, you're trying to seek God so that he can be a sugar daddy to you and give you all your stuff. And when you decide, you give him a little wave or whatever you want, you know, hey, I'm here with a little praise for you. He's like, listen, I don't want your little praise. I want you or nothing. See, we gotta stop throwing what we wouldn't accept at God and ask him to accept it. He wouldn't accept a blemished sacrifice, and yet we bring tarnished praise before him. We bring this old blemished sacrifice before him, and we ask him to accept it and bless it. And God said, listen, it's rejected. Huh? Why is it rejected? Well, he should be happy. I ain't have to do nothing. He didn't have to give you the breath in your body. Your mind could have snapped right then. But he allowed you to keep the sound mind that you have. I don't know how sound it is if you're talking to God like that. But, you know, the thing is that God didn't cut you off when your lifestyle merited being cut off. He keeps making a way for you to come in. He's looking for you to give your life to him. Huh? He's looking for you to stop trying to look like the world and start looking like the kingdom. Stop trying to be the world with a little Jesus sprinkled on it and start being the kingdom that the world needs to look at and desire to be like.
Yes, sir.
You see that? Huh? Do not be transformed. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Until you get the mind of Christ, you're going to keep praying these wars and fights and desires for pleasure and praying amiss. Because in your mind, it's justified that you should have everything that you feel that you ever wanted. That's why these mega churches grow, because they cater to that type of theology that tells you that you should be able to have whatever you want. It's God's will for you to live this wonderful, abundant life, having plenty and never being lacking. Okay, well, listen, let's just read through the New Testament and see what type of dire straits the first century church was in. How many apostles did you see that were multimillionaires of the day? How many pastors did you see that had more than enough? If I remember correctly, they were taking up alms and offerings, huh? in Corinthians to send back to Jerusalem because the church in Jerusalem was in dire straits. And if I remember correctly, that's where all the apostles were. See, all this foolishness has got us off assignment, trying to run after riches and material things and stuff. And we think that the more that we have, the more blessed we are. My brothers and sisters, you're fooling yourself. Let me just say it like this. A fisherman doesn't go out looking for good fish with a piece of rubber. He know he ain't going to catch it. He ain't going to take a piece of tire out there and try to entice a fish with that. He's going to take something that looks like a worm or something that looks like a fly or something that the fish would look at and go, ooh. Okay? Don't think that these cars, houses, and the rest of this stuff, it's just because you get it, it's in God's will. The devil knows how to trip you up by giving you something prematurely.
Yes, sir.
You see that? If it boosts up your pride and your image to the point where you too good to come to church, you too good to witness, somebody homeless can't ask you for a ride because I just got my car detailed. See, we can't demonstrate Christ with our flesh on parade. And the devil knows that. So we got to ask some serious questions. The Bible says to bless the Lord, make us rich, and he has no sorrow with it. In order to get that, did you have to lie, steal, cheat? Then that wasn't God. You see that? Did you have to step on somebody and push somebody out the way? That wasn't God. All that stuff, ooh, God allowed me to, I was able to, stop. Okay? How about you develop your Christian relationship, your relationship between you and Christ? Let the Holy Spirit come in and lead and guide you instead of you trying to lead and guide the Holy Spirit. While studying prosperity theology, I came across one place where it was talking about it, and it says, listen, this is abundance and wellness. And we practice the presence of God for personal advancement. In other words, what they say is we seek the presence of God so that we can get our stuff from him. Not so we can fulfill his mission he's given us, but so we can do so he can do for us what we desire him to do. In other words, we're going to provoke God to give me money. And notice that the word of God is always what comes through the man or the woman of God. As the twisted scripture they read validates. Full contextual study, exegeting the passage, would show that what they just said was out of context. And we have churches that are growing by leaps and bounds, but we have more carnal Christians who have no spiritual authority because they're breaking spiritual laws. Huh? As soon as the enemy come in, they have no way to stand up and to do anything there. We got to get this together. Huh? Last scripture as we end this. James 4:4, adulterers and adulteresses. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? For whoever wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. You see? Or do you think the scripture says, in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Let us submit ourselves to God. Amen? So that God will bless us and continue to bless us. We're not done. We just got to stop because of time. Come on, let's pray. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this word. We thank you for this opportunity to minister to your people. Lord, this is a right now rhema word for those who would hear it and apply it to their lives. The enemy has lied and he's cheated and he's tried to get us off assignment, knowing that disobedience will cause us to fail in your sight. We can't have the reward of obedience without doing the obedient thing. So help us, Lord, to focus on you and the assignment you've given to us and walk according to your will for our lives in the name of Jesus. Now, I pray for those who are not saved. I pray right now for them that they would simply pray this prayer. Father, forgive me of my sins. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Thank you, Father, for salvation. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Lord, if they pray that prayer, lead them to a Bible teaching, a Bible believing church, where they can be developed and matured and go on to do what you've called them to do. I pray right now and speak miracle, signs, wonders, deliverance, healing to manifest in the lives of those who believe and those who hear. You said that these signs will follow them that believe. So, Lord, those who believe, we touch and agree with them now for miracle working power to manifest in the name, the authority of Jesus. We pray and we thank you for it now. Amen. Listen, go to our website, www.ctkr.org, ctkr.org. Learn more about us. Become a vision partner with us. Help us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
I'm Prophetess McQueen.
Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, reminding you that it is God's will for you to live the kingdom lifestyle. Be blessed in the name of the Lord.